and you actually have all of your content for the entire month. So you never have to sit down and be like, oh, I have to be funny today, but I'm not in the mood.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Today, in this episode, episode number 39, we're going to be having a conversation about all things social media. And joining me for this conversation is Gina Ledniak. Gina is an absolute wizard at social media. She is the founder and CEO of LNA Social, based out of Sydney. Her history is that she was born in the USSR and migrated to New York City in the early 90s, where she attended Boston University. Now, the significance of that particular university was one of the first ever universities to try this new thing called the Facebook, as it was known at that time. She, of course, finished university, studying psychology, moved out to Australia, founded her social media agency, and has been kicking enormous goals. She works with large brands and small brands alike, helping them achieve the goal of becoming web famous, attracting more business, and so on. So much so that in 2016, she was the New South Wales Telstra Young Businesswoman of the Year Award recipient. And so she's done some fantastic things. In this particular interview, we talk all about strategy and getting that right. We then have a talk about some of the common mistakes and pitfalls that people make with their social media. And again, some of the best things that you can do to take your social media to the next level right now to be attracting more patients through the practice with social media. I hope you really enjoy this episode. I would really encourage you to have a piece of paper and a pen handy and take some notes. I'm sure you'll want to go back and refer to it. So without any further ado, here's Gina Ledniak. Gina, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's really great to have you here today. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to spend some time with us.
Thank you for having me, Jesse.
Oh, you're really welcome. It's going to be a lot of fun. And look, Gina, you're the CEO and founder of LNA Social Media, and I know you guys do some really cool stuff with some cool brands. And as dentists, we all know that we should be doing social media, but oftentimes when I speak to dentists, you know, as much as we know that we should be doing it, it seems that there's this... Well, it seems a little bit like a mystery to a lot of people, actually. And what I'm hoping that we can do in our conversation today is demystify some of the things, but equally give some of the practical things that people can do on a day-to-day basis to make their social more engaging and ultimately bring more business through the doors. So given your background, why do you think social is becoming so important at the moment? It's always been important, but why is it seeming to be so important at the moment?
I'm a big believer in looking kind of at big picture behavior of society. And what we're really seeing in Australia is that over the past few years, people are completely moving away from other forms of information like TV, radio, newspapers, and they're moving fully towards digital. And the best way to access people through digital is by social media, because it actually allows you two-way conversation. So it's not, it wouldn't say it's so much that social media is becoming increasingly relevant to reach people, but it's more that the way that we consume information as a society is changing so rapidly. And we as business owners and marketers really have to keep up with that and make sure that we're speaking to people on the platforms where their attention is.
Okay, cool. So I guess one of the key things then, just to take that step a bit further, is knowing which platforms people are going to be engaged with. So I guess from just to dive into something a little specific at the moment, you'd need to know who your ideal customer is, what platforms they're going to be on at any given time to make sure that engagement's in real time. Is that correct?
Exactly. And when we look at where Australia is at the moment, there are 15 million active users on Facebook. Then there's 5 million active users on Instagram. So Instagram saw a huge growth in user base over the last couple of years. And there's actually now 4 million active users on Snapchat. So it's really important to look at the platforms where your consumers are, but also to look at the kinds of content that's doing well on those platforms within your audience.
Okay, so that's really cool. So one of the things I just wanted to start our conversation with, Gina, because I'm sure you get to look at a lot of businesses and examine their social media strategy and how they execute that strategy. Where do you think the biggest problems lie for small businesses in particular, you know, when it comes to social, bearing in mind that, you know, I know you work with some fantastic brands, we'll touch on that in a sec, but where do you think the biggest problems arise for small business, given they don't have the budgets of the bigger companies?
I think the biggest problems arise out of two key things. One is not having a strategy. So not taking a bit of time to step back and actually think about what your business strategy is and what you're hoping to achieve by being on social media. And the second thing is developing interesting content. So developing content that doesn't just try to sell, but actually adds value.
And so I guess, you know, is there like an 80-20 rule around that content? You know, when you're delivering content, obviously you want to be adding value to the people who are consuming that content. So at what point do you get to put your message in there, or do you just not put your message in there? Do you just keep adding value, and then ultimately those people will come and buy from you later?
I think it's quite important to do both. I think that as a dentist, it's actually a little bit different than it would be if you're a consumer brand. So if you're a consumer brand, for example, if you make cereal or milk or juice, whatever that is, I could actually, as a brand, aim to convince someone to go out of their way and buy my product. And I could actually convince them to buy my brand over somebody else's brand. Now, the reason for that is that when you're thirsty, you have a juice, and throughout the day, you know, you're quite thirsty a lot of times. The difference with marketing your dental practice is that it's a bit more of a commodity, in that you wouldn't really think to go to the dentist unless you needed to go to the dentist. And it's not something that kind of you could convince someone to do if they don't kind of need to do it. So the biggest difference with if you are a dental practice is that you almost have to keep people engaged and active with you over a much longer period of time, because the sales conversion funnel is going to be that little bit longer, because you can't just quickly and easily convince people to come in and see you. So the longer you could keep people engaged, and engaged, a good way to think of it is, what is everyone else doing? And if everyone else is posting really serious content that's quite boring and just talks about, you know, dental issues and problems like that, then a way that you could really engage your audience is by entertaining them or giving them a bit of value or giving them some interesting facts that they don't already know about.
Okay, cool. So there's a whole lot of stuff there. We know that our content needs to be engaging. We know that we need to keep people, you know, interested in that content for longer, so that that sales process is, you know, more elegant. And I guess that ties into that zero moment of truth study as well, that 7 hours and 11 touch points. If we can rack up as much of those hours and touch points before the patient walks through the door, and then hopefully by the time they do walk through the door, there's going to be an easier conversation again. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. So I guess the idea is definitely that if you continuously keep connecting with the right people, then when it is time to come see you, or when it's time to come see a dentist, the chances are they're going to come see you. And if we think about, I always try to bring it back to relationships. And if we think about the people who we really enjoy spending time with, we really enjoy having dinner with them, no matter how busy we are, we'll usually make a bit of extra time to go see those specific people. And what that actually means in terms of a business sense is, if you could, through your social media, develop a really strong emotional relationship with your community, then the chances are is they won't go see anyone else. They're always going to come see you.
Okay, that's fantastic. And one of the things I really love about just the conversation so far, Gina, is because, you know, oftentimes when, you know, I get asked about marketing, or I hear other people speak about marketing, it's very tactical. But what I'm hearing from you is that there's a lot of the understanding of the psychology of the other people that you're dealing with, you know, your end user. Do you kind of take a bit of a psychological approach to social media? It's a random question, I realize, but it just seems like you're very much focused on the behavior of the human being, which I really like.
Yeah, we definitely do. So my background is in psychology. So when I was at Boston University, I studied psychology, and I didn't quite know that I would go on to do social media. So
it's not the typical career progression, is it?
No, and it didn't really exist, you know, when I was kind of looking at what I was going to do, social media didn't exist. So it was very much kind of finding my footing in that regard. However, what I guess you do learn in psychology is really to look at people's behavior and look at who you're targeting and look at how you're communicating with them. And the valuable thing is there is not a lot of people use psychology in their marketing. And it's something that's so crucial and so valuable that if you do use a bit of psychology in what you do, it's really going to set your strategy apart from what your competitors are doing as well.
Okay, cool. So coming back to that strategy, if I was sitting down thinking about, okay, well, Gina's told me I need to have a strategy because that's one of the common mistakes that people make. What's the starting point for developing a good strategy? I know that probably one of the key starting points would be to find someone like you and have a conversation. But if someone's just sitting here thinking, okay, I know I want to get this process in motion, what would the thought process or things that they need to consider start with?
The first thing is really figuring out who you are as a brand. So what do you represent? What is your tone of voice? Are you an expert in a specific thing, or are you quite fun and easy to deal with and people come to you because they have a really nice experience? So get really, really clear on what your point of difference is and what you're all about. The second thing is figuring out who is your target audience. So if you are creating a product that's for everyone, then it's not actually going to resonate very well with anyone. And that's a really important thing to remember. So getting quite specific on who you're targeting and why you're targeting them. And then the next thing is what kind of messaging, and this is a combination of the first two, what kind of messaging do you already to publish and how can you make that messaging relevant to the people that you're targeting? And if you get that messaging right, what you can actually do is start to develop your consumer funnel and figure out how to drive people from not knowing about you to knowing about you, to becoming engaged with you, to then making an appointment and coming in to see you.
And then making another subsequent appointment to come back, I guess, really, because that is the whole process. You've now got customer acquisition, but now I guess it shifts to retention as well, yes?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Okay, so that's the beginning point of the strategy. Once you've got the messaging right, at what point do they start thinking about, okay, what's the most appropriate platform? Is that once they've got their ideal customer mapped out? Is that the point there? Or how do you go about that? Is Facebook kind of the main game in town still?
Well, I'd say Facebook offers the most flexibility. So for a dental practice, I'd say Facebook is definitely the most powerful one. It does have 15 million people on it. So whoever your target audience is most likely going to be on Facebook. And like I said earlier, you definitely want to go to where kind of the critical mass is. So for example, Twitter is a really fun platform and offers great two-way conversation, but because the user base in Australia is quite low on Twitter, you could invest all of your time on Twitter, but it still might not grow your business, while you might invest just a little bit of time on Facebook and see quite a lot of return.
Yeah, fantastic. And just to touch on a point you brought up a bit earlier, you mentioned about creating engaging content. And again, remembering that small business owners are busy doing their thing during the day, and oftentimes marketing is a bit of a sideline activity. I don't necessarily think it should be that, but it sometimes turns out that way in reality. How practically can you create content quickly and easily that's engaging and fun and on brand?
So I'd say I'm gonna give two answers to that question. One is like, how do you get inspired to create the content? Because you obviously need creative ideas and things like that. And so the answer to that first question is that it's really important to proactively seek out brands that you really admire. And these brands probably shouldn't be in the same industry as you, because you don't want to be copying someone and you don't want to be doing what your competitors are doing. However, you do want to look at brands that are maybe in like complementary industries, whether that might be like general dental health, dental products. And you could even find brands that are in completely different categories, like Pringles, for example, has really, really good social media. And once you start just keeping, you know, you don't have to do loads of research, but just take a peek at what they're doing once a week or once every few weeks. And you'll start to notice little inspirations and ideas for things that could apply to what you're doing as well. Now, the second thing is that nothing of creative value will ever come out of being really rushed. So it's really important to kind of take time out of your day and out of your month to sit down and work on your strategy, create a content calendar. So you should never just be thinking about what you need to post every day. It should all be kind of pre-planned and laid out. So as an agency, and we work across 70 clients now, and it's the way that we do it is that we actually sit down 1 week before the end of the month. So we sit down around like the 21st of the month. We start planning out the strategy for not the next month, but the month after that. And we kind of spend a week or two evaluating the results from the existing month, looking at what's worked well in the past, thinking about what the business priorities are for the brand for the couple of months ahead. And then we develop an outline of the calendar for the following month. And once we have that outline and we feel like it's strategic and goals oriented, then we develop the content itself. So if you do that just for one business, it's a process that you could do over, you know, 3-4 hours or so. And all of a sudden you've done that process and you actually have all of your content for the entire month. So you never have to sit down and be like, oh, I have to be funny today, but I'm not in the mood. How do I do that?
It's Monday funny, therefore I shall be.
Exactly. It just allows you to really create a strategy and approach that's going to resonate well with people. And it also means that if you could block out half a day once a month to work on it, you'll be in a good place and you won't have to spend 30 minutes every day mucking around with it.
Fantastic. I think that's really good advice. So again, a bit of preparation, a bit of planning, getting all that content mapped out well ahead of time, and then just executing that and then posting it as you would normally, so that you're not feeling, yeah, as you say, the need to be funny on a Monday just because. One of the things that you just spoke about there was analytics. And most dentists I know are fairly data-driven kind of people. We love numbers. We love to see pie charts and, you know, bar charts and spreadsheets and whatever. So when it comes to the key metrics around social media, you know, one of the things that gets thrown around a word is vanity metrics versus real metrics. So what are the most important metrics to be looking at when it comes to social media so you know that it's being effective?
So there's kind of the, I almost call it like there's social media only metrics, which is how many likes you have on Facebook, how many followers you have on Instagram, things like that. And those metrics are really good because they show credibility to your brand. They also show how many people are in your community that you could leverage. However, at the end of the day, the metrics that really matter are how many people are making a booking or coming in to see you more often because of your marketing activity. So what we really tend to look at is we do look at community growth, because if you only have 100 people on your Facebook page and I'm a consumer who's doing research on you, then that to me looks a bit, you know, makes me kind of trust the validity of it. However, what we really look at is growth engagement. So engagement is how many people are actually liking and commenting on the content that you're posting. So you could have 100,000 people on your Facebook, but if your engagement is 1 or 2 likes per post, then you probably aren't really getting much value out of your social media activity. So we look at how many people are actually engaging, and then we look at how many people from the content that you're creating and from the advertising and things like that are actually visiting your website as well.
Okay, so you look at unique visits or something like that, or, you know, bounce rates and all those sorts of, you know, normal Google Analytics sort of metrics.
Yep, so we would look at how many people come to your website, and then from there what you want to look at, if you could really create your conversion funnel, what you would want to look at is how many people click through, and out of the people that click through, how many people book to see you. And then out of those, how many people become repeat offenders?
Okay, cool. Love that. That's fantastic. We all love repeat offenders.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So there's some really good data there. And one of the things that, you know, digital marketing, I think, lends itself to really, really well is getting good numbers, whereas, you know, more traditional forms of marketing is a little harder sometimes. So that's fantastic. One of the things I just wanted to ask you about, just coming back to the engagement that you spoke about, if you've got 100,000, you know, likes on your page, but only, or 100,000 followers, sorry, but only 1 or 2 likes per post, then that content may not be so engaging. In a way to increase engagement, I know it's going to come back to the quality of the content that you're creating and planning it in a particular way, but are there certain things that are more engaging than others? You know, images, videos, you know, blogs, what's, do you have any thoughts around very specific types of content that create higher engagement levels?
Yeah, so I'd say like posting blogs is good, but you don't want to do it too often, because What it does is it kind of just drives your audience away to your website. And if the blog isn't that good, it means they probably won't come back again. So I would say like blogging is good, but maybe once a fortnight or once a week. Images and videos are extremely powerful. So social media is really, really visual. So the more images and video you can do, the better. I would also say don't be afraid to use humor, because I think that one thing with medical profession in general is that we are quite limited in what we're allowed to say. So we work with quite a few companies in the medical profession, and you can't, you know, you're very limited in what you could say. You can't give advice. There's very certain tips that you could give. So really what that leaves you is storytelling, and storytelling means showcasing who you are as a business. And it also leaves you with humor. And the best way to really connect with people is through humor, especially around something that, you know, unfortunately, nobody really wakes up and says, oh, I want to go to the dentist today. It's usually something that's surrounded by a little bit of pain. A lot of people are scared of the dentist. I know, I'm terrified. I hate going. So it's really, you know, how can you create something that takes that away and changes people's perception of what it's like to visit the dentist? So make it about fun, make it light, make it engaging, and you'll start to see people's perception shift as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And for anyone out there, you know, we all know that no one ever, ever comes to the dentist and says, so glad to be here. You know, no one says that, you know, I'm really looking forward to this feeling. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, create some fun around it is always great. Jen, one of the things that the audience was probably thinking about as we're having this conversation is, this all sounds fantastic, but, you know, I'm a dentist, I'm busy with my hands in someone's mouth all day, every day. How am I going to find the time to do this? I know I've got to make the time, but what about the idea of having some team to do that? Do you suggest having people on the small business team do some of the social media, or do you think it all needs to come from the owner, or do you use some automation or some tools? How do you guys roll with that sort of stuff?
Well, I mean, in my own business, like, I run a social media agency, and I'm a big believer in just outsourcing anything that's not part of my core business. And the reason I say that is that you could hold on tightly to everything in the business, but it's the second that you let go that your actual business starts to grow. And at the end of the day, the only reason that a dentist would be doing social media is to get more business out of it or grow your reputation and things like that. So it's not really part of the core business model. What I would normally say is, it's quite cost effective to bring someone on. If you work with a big agency, it's definitely more expensive, but it's quite cost effective to bring on a small agency. So for example, I have a second social media agency called Your Socially, which only works with small clients. And it was developed purely for that idea that, like, so many small businesses have so much trouble with social media. And at some point, you really just have to kind of let go of it. I think the worst person to do it is probably the dentist. I think that if you are going to do it in-house, the person that should probably do it is maybe the receptionist or the person making the appointments and bookings or the practice manager. Whoever is maybe more of the admin person would probably do a better job of it. When you're kind of the main business owner or practitioner, I usually find that you're almost too close to it, and it becomes really difficult to develop content and tell the story. You're just a bit too close to it.
Yeah, I think that's really, really true, because, you know, as dentists, we're all fascinated with the technical elements of our work. We love the fact that our crowns have got this, you know, beautiful 6 degree of taper, but candidly, no one else cares about that other than us. And really, patients come for an outcome. They don't come for, you know, the process or the procedure, they come for the outcome it brings. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the dentists are probably too close to it. The other thing that lots of old dentists, and I shouldn't use the word older, let me catch myself there, because I probably fall into that demographic too. But something that happens all the time in dental practices, you know, there's a young receptionist or young staff member, it doesn't have to be a receptionist, they go, oh, well, yeah, she's 21, she's on Facebook all the time when she shouldn't be. Maybe she should manage our social media, or he should manage our social media, because they're on Facebook all the time. Do you see that as a bit of a mistake in small business as well, coming up, you know, where the youngest member of the team, who happens to be a great consumer of social media, is somehow thrust with the role now of taking on the social media of the business?
Definitely. So I think that's obviously something we hear so often. And I think being strategic about your social is so important. So just because somebody consumes social media doesn't mean that they necessarily know the business well enough or know the environment well enough to be a good marketer on the platform. So I think it's actually, it's just really important to work with someone that understands your business and also understands the social environment and like the business side of it. So what is the consumer flow? What do people want to see when they come onto like your social networks? Who is your consumer base? Things like that. Otherwise, it's really easy to be active on social media and it's even easier to get zero results from it. So it's just really important to kind of have the right activity.
Fantastic. So Gina, what I always like to try and do is leave the scene of a crime with a couple of action steps. So if you were, you know, going to prescribe three or so or however many action steps to the audience, you know, three things that they could really focus on today to, you know, get their social media kickstarted, what would be, you know, two or three or four, you know, key things that they could do that would add value to their social media now?
The first thing I would do is look at your whole, you know, your whole business and your social media and kind of take a step back and think about what is it? Like if you could summarize it in one line, what you're doing in one line, how would you describe it? What do you stand for? And you could say that your social media is there to engage, educate, grow, whatever that one-liner is, create it. And once you have that, go away and create four potential topics within which you could create content. And the reason I say to do that is that you don't want to get stuck into doing only funny posts or only educational posts. So what I would do is actually create what we call content pillars. And your content pillars might be engagement, which would be the content pillar that's purely there to engage people. You might have education, which is there to educate people. And then you might have something unique to your practice as well. So create those and then get into the flow of developing your content at least 1 month in advance. So sitting down, doing your strategy, planning out your content pillars, developing your content. And the last thing would be decide on the metrics that you're going to measure. So what this will do is actually mean that you don't just keep doing social media blindly, but you look at why you're doing it. And you actually ensure that it's getting you the numbers that you need to be getting. So it's really, really good to kind of know what success looks like to you so you could decide whether you're on your way there or not.
Fantastic. Gina, that's really fantastic practical advice. I love that. Thank you so much. And of course, if social media is done really well, I guess the outcomes that, you know, dentists and other small businesses would expect to have would be increased number of inquiries, increased number of, you know, bookings, and increased customer retention. Yeah?
Exactly. And the customer retention piece is something really important because as we become more and more of a society that consumes everything on social media, it's incredibly important to kind of get started now and work social media into being part of your practice. That way, you're just not left behind when everybody else is kind of thriving using social media.
Fantastic. Cool. Gina, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. I really appreciate the really specific and advice you've given us, as well as the overarching strategic direction as well. You're very, very generous with your time and on behalf of all the audience, thanks so much for coming. But before we go, one last question. Where can people find out about you?
Good question. So they could go to landasocial.com. Yeah. And they can also find my personal self on Twitter and Instagram at Gina Ledniak. So GINALEDNYAK.
Cool. Gina, thanks again. You've been really great and I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Lovely to speak to you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.